Kilowatt 2 Foxtrot X-Ray. My name is Paul. Tonight coming to you from Studio B on the K2RRA repeater system serving Rochester, Monroe, and surrounding counties, and the universe, the Echo Link. As usual, we will start by taking local check-ins tonight, then we'll follow those up with Echo Link check-ins. As a reminder, for every station checking in, please call my station first, K2FX, right up on your microphone. Make sure you're not doubling with another station. Then give me your call sign, your name, and your location. At this time, those stations wishing to join the NubiNet, please call K2FX.
K2FX. KC2SPY, Max and Webster. Good evening, Paul.
K2FX.
FX.
This is Whiskey 2, Juliet Alpha Alpha. Broadcasting from Eastman Kodak. I have to secure at 9:30. This is Rich. Thank you.
K2FX. W2BSN, Lynn in Penfield. Good evening, Paul.
K2FX. This is KC2QLJ, Brent in Rochester. Good evening, Paul.
K2FX. K2DMG, Dan in Gates. Good evening, Paul.
K2FX, this is KC2FCZ.
K2FX. This is Kilo Charlie 2, Tango November Delta, Allen and Webster.
K2FX.
This is KC2QZR, Joe in North Greece.
K2FX.
This is Kilo Charlie 2, Kilo Pi India, Rowan in Rochester.
K2FX. This is KC2PCD, London Fairport.
K2FX.
K2SI, Dwayne in Ogden.
K2FX.
N2AWA, Jeff Victor.
K2FX.
N2MLH, Larry and Honeyeye.
KC2SPY, Max and Webster. Good evening, Max. Also welcoming W2JAA Rich at Kodak, securing in about a minute and 40 seconds at 9:30. Also W2BSN, Lynn in Penfield Highland. KC2QLJ, Brent in Rochester. K2DMG, Dan in Gates. KC2Sierra, Charlie Zulu, I guess. No name, no location, but I think that's Don in Fairport. AF2K Irv in Webster, also securing at 9:30. Good evening, Irv. KC2 Tango November Delta Allen in Webster, one of our newer operators. Hi, Allen. Nice to hear you tonight. KC2 QZR Joe in North Greece. Hi, Joe. KC2 PCD Len in Fairport. K2SI Dwayne in Ogden. N2KFE Steve in Bushnell's Basin. N2AWA Jeff and Victor. And N2MLH Larry in Honeyway.
and I know I missed one due to a phone call or maybe more. It may have been KC2KPY or something similar to that, but I'm not sure. So those stations wishing to join the net, please call K2FX.
K2FX. This is Kilo Charlie 2, Kilo Papa India, Rowan in Rochester, checking in.
K2FX. WB2VMR, Steve in Farmington. Good evening.
K2FX. WG2B, Dick in the city.
K2FX. Whiskey 3, Oscar Alpha Bravo, John in Ogden.
K2FX. This is Kilo 2, Mike Tango Hotel, Mark in Ogden, New York. Good evening, Paul.
have the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'll be the ugly. WW2E, Cleveland Heights.
November 2, Quebec, Delta Kilowatt, Mike in Albany, New York. Okay, very good. But that also welcomes, that acknowledges November Charlie 8, Echo Delta, NC8ED, I believe the name is Ed. Taking that from the suffix of the call sign, Lake County, in Northeast Ohio. We have the ugly guy, WW2E Phil, in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, and he's really not that ugly, so don't let him fool you. And N2QDK, Mike, in Albany. Hi, Mike. Nice to hear you tonight. Hopefully some more of your buddies out there on the terrace system are listening as well. Any further EchoLink stations and EchoLink only at this time to join the NewbieNet, please call K2FX.
Here it is. Hello, Bravo 2. Kentucky Fried Culture. Hello, Bravo 2.
Okay, very good. Victor, Ted, in Green Island, New York. I never knew there was such a place as Green Island. Actually, I did, because Ted's checked in here before. I have no idea where it is, but apparently it's a real place, Green Island. Not to be confused with Grand Island up at Niagara Falls. Okay, good. Welcome, everybody. That is 24 seconds. Actually, we'll make it 26 because we'll add KB2CHY Brad in there, who's in beautiful downtown Rochester, New York. Okay, like to remind anybody who may be listening to the net right now but is not able to check in, that would be stations in listen mode only. If you have any comments or questions for the NewbieNet, you can fast blast me here. The email address is usafpilot@rochester.rr.com. That address again is USAF, as in United States Air Force, pilot@rochester.rr.com. Go ahead and fast blast any questions or comments, and if you're in receive mode only, meaning you might be listening to us on a scanner, we would be happy to address anything you have to say tonight. I was kind of hoping that George, W2XBS in Albany, would be joining us tonight. I mentioned this to George earlier, that we would probably be doing a topic tonight that's going to be right up his alley, and I was hoping that maybe he would join us for some comments, but we're going to continue on anyway, because this is... producer of the show, and I was hoping he may have been able to add a clip or of the show or give us some more insight into the program. But I will give you the information as I know it, because I happen to be affiliated with the program, and I very much enjoy doing that. So I'll just give you a very brief summary of what this week in amateur radio is about and where you can find it. And then after that, we're going to move on and just broach the topic of Field Day for a couple of minutes and see if anybody out there would like to share their field day experiences, because there was quite a few of them in the area, quite a few good field days, and I know that several people on the NewbieNet did show up at field days as well. So we'll get to comments here in just a moment. Wait.
is K2FX, net control of the Ray Pickens Memorial that, or the Ray Pickens Memorial Movie Net, continuing here tonight. What is This Week in Amateur Radio? Well, This Week in Amateur Radio really is intended primarily for amateur radio frequencies. The headline version is always no more than 60 minutes in length, and the full version may run longer than 60 minutes. But for those repeater systems that actually carry This Week in Amateur Radio, the first 20 minutes are dedicated to the latest amateur radio headlines. Segments after the news include such things as the random access slot, musings, the Gateway 160-meter net report, Leo Laporte, who gives the latest news and technology, and the ancient amateur archives, and many other various segments that change from week to week. At this time, nobody directly in the Rochester area that's airing This Week in Amateur Radio, except for Leon's machine, which is down in the southern tier. Well, he's got actually several links out there. We're currently in communications with Brad here, KB2SCHY, to see if we can possibly pick up This Week in Amateur Radio. If you like Amateur Radio Newsline, it's very similar in nature, but yet it's different in many other fun and interesting ways as well. Wait. So that is the repeater version of This Week in Amateur Radio. Now, there is also something that's known as This Week in Amateur Radio International, or TWIAR International. And that is much the same as the regular This Week in Amateur Radio program. The main difference is the TWIAR International is not intended, I say again, not intended for amateur radio frequencies due to the airing of music and commercial content that obviously is not allowed here in amateur radio. The flagship station for This Week in Amateur Radio International is WBCQ, broadcasting on 7415 megahertz. This Week in Amateur Radio International airs Sundays at 4 o'clock Eastern Time on WBCQ, and TWIAR International is just about 60 minutes in length every week, and that is a hard start and stop time due to time constraints. And airing the program on WBCQ, it's slotted as a one-hour time slot from 4 until 5 p.m. Wait. Since I mentioned This Week in Amateur Radio International, broadcasting on WBCQ, I'll just give you just a couple of interesting tidbits about WBCQ. Those of you who are shortwave listeners may be familiar with it. If you're not a shortwave listener, but you have a shortwave radio, you may find this interesting. WBCQ broadcasts 50,000 watts on each of its four international shortwave transmitters, and the frequencies are as follows: 5.110, 7.415, 9.330, and 15.420 megahertz. And that station, WBCQ, broadcasts to North, Central and South America, and the Caribbean. And WBCQ has been offering access to the airwaves since the beginning, or since rather signing on to the worldwide shortwave bands in 1998. WBCQ broadcasts a variety of content, including live talk radio, eclectic music shows, and things of that nature. And, of course, This Week in Amateur Radio International, Sundays at 4 o'clock. Wait. Those of you who miss any segments of This Week in Amateur Radio can go to the website. Everything is archived there, and it's very easy to get in there and get the podcasts. The address is simply www.twiar.org. That's www.twiar.org. It stands for This Week in Amateur Radio. Very, very easy to remember. But there's an extensive listing of archived shows there, and you can go back quite a ways and amuse yourself for hours and hours going back and listening to those shows. I highly recommend the international shows because they are fun. They're very well done. They've got a lot of goofy segments in there. And I know that Phil, WW2E on frequency, can attest to that. that because I think he's a huge TWYAR international fan. So we'll call upon him in a couple minutes for any comments he may have on that program. Also, if you'd like some more information on the station WBCQ, simply connect to www.wbcq.com. So that's This Week in Amateur Radio International and TWYAR in a nutshell. Again, I was hoping that George W2XBS would be on frequency. As I mentioned earlier, George is the executive producer of the program, and he does an excellent job at it. But since he's not here tonight, we probably won't get a clip of the show on the air, but I am going to continue to work with Brad, KB2CHY, and see if we can't get that to either run consistently with Amateur Radio Newsline or find some other time slot for it, because I think it's good information. So with that, let me take a quick pause here and see if anybody else would like to join the net. If so, please call your net control, K2FX.
K2FX, this is K2JRD. Good evening, call.
K2FX. This is KC2SWZ. George and Williamson. Over.
Okay, very good. Good evening to John, KA2JRD in Webster. John, nice to hear you tonight. And George, KC2SWZ, my bike riding friend from Williamson, who made an appearance at the RDXA Field Day today. I got to meet him in person. Great to hear you tonight, George. Phil, I'm going to call upon you just briefly here, WW2E. If you don't mind, if you can drag yourself over to the computer microphone, I would just be interested in your comments for a moment on This Week in Amateur Radio, because I know you're a longtime listener. Maybe you've got a couple things you'd like to share pertaining to the show. So, Phil, over to you, and if not, we'll just move on to another topic here, WW2E. Phil, go ahead and pick it up if you care to share some comments. We'd love to hear them.
Okay, Paul, K2FX and the net from WW2E in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Oh, yeah, This Week in Amateur Radio is great. It's a wonderful, insane, creative, informative, just an excellent show. What I like to do is download the MP3 file from their website, put it on my MP3 player, and listen to it, when I feel like it. It's a podcast, and it can be listened to as a podcast on your own schedule. Or you could sit there and just, you know, stream it into your computer and listen to it as it downloads from their site, whatever you like. But it's a tremendous show. It's very creative. It's really, really different than, I would have to say, all the other ham radio news programs that I've ever heard. Definitely two thumbs up. It's a little crazy. It's a little wild. You got to be prepared for something different, but if you like different, you're going to love it. Back to net from WW2E.
All right, Phil, WW2E, K2FX Net Control. Well, thanks. I appreciate your comments tonight. They were very, very well said. And I think everything you said was right on target tonight. It is a little crazy. It is a little zany. But it's very well done, and the information is incredible. So thank you again, Phil, for the comments. I should also mention that This Week in Amateur Radio, the repeater version is current as of this week already. So if you go up there, you can grab that. The international version is always 1 week behind due to the production values that go into that show. Takes a little longer to assemble it, and then it has to be sent to WBCQ in Monticello, Maine, and then it airs the following week. So everything that we recorded this week, and I was fortunate enough to have the play.
pleasure being lead anchor on the show this week. We'll be on TWYAR International next Sunday at 4 o'clock. But the repeater version is currently available right up on the website, so you can go up there. And as Phil mentioned, you can download the podcast, the MP3s, and I kind of do the same thing. If I don't have time to listen to it all, I'll put it into my MP3 player and carry it around and just listen to it as time permits. So it's a lot of fun to do it that way. All right, thank you, Phil. Appreciate it. Does anybody else have any comments or questions on this week in amateur radio at all before we move to our field day discussion? If so, please call K2FX.
N2AWA.
N2AWA, good evening, Jeff. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Paul and Ned. Just an FYI, the repeater in Batavia, which is like 30 miles west of Rochester, that carries the show. And I don't know what time it is, but it's the 147.285 repeater. Back to Ned.
Okay, Jeff, very good. I think that might be one of Leon's many multiple repeaters in his system. I'm not exactly sure, but something tells me that it is. I appreciate that. Okay, so those of you who want the show right off the repeaters, you can get it through the Batavia repeater that Jeff just mentioned. And again, hopefully we'll have that right here in Rochester proper. The NewbieNet did get a mention on this week in Amateur Radio International, just so you know, Brad. So that might give you a little more incentive to want to download it this week. Anybody else have any comments or questions on the topic?
K2FX.
Station calling net control. Say again your call sign.
This is Kilo Charlie 2. See your Charlie 2. Dial at Fairport.
Okay, Don in Fairport, very good. Thank you for coming up tonight. Did you have a comment or question about this week at Amateur Radio?
So Amateur Radio news-wise, you can get that live podcast if you download www.infobar.com. You get all the all the ham news and everything from ARL. And also the newsline, everything else on there also. So most of it is pre-recorded and some of it is live. So just download it and you have a lot of fun on listening on the newsline. This is KC2SCZ.
Okay, Don, very good. Thank you for that information. Yeah, there are several services out there that do offer the current news of the week in amateur radio. What I actually did on my website, I have a link to TWYAR, and they have a ticker. It's an actual news ticker. So if you go to my website, it's just radiok2fx.com, you'll see a ticker to This Week in Amateur Radio, and all of the current news items will scroll there. And I believe if you click on the ticker, it'll just take you to the website. And those of you who have ham radio websites and really like that service can also add that ticker to your website as well. It's pretty neat to have that current information up there and scrolling. Okay, one last call. Anybody else for questions or comments on this topic? And then we're going to move over to Field Day.
KC2 SPY.
Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, I looked up that repeater there and... it is, like you said before, 147.285. It is W2RCX, so no, it's not Leon's, I don't believe. And it has a PL tone of 141.3 Hz. 141.3 Hz. So if you can get into that repeater, I'm sure you ask around there, and they should be able to tell you when it's aired. KC2SPY, back to net.
Very good, Max. Thanks for that information. W2RCX is the call sign on that Batavia repeater. 147.285 is the frequency, and the PL is 141.3. Yeah, that would not be a repeater of Leon's. So that's good. That's one I didn't know about. It's in Batavia. It might be a little scratchy in this area for some of you, but it's worth a try. And I'll try to find out exactly when they're airing the show there. Thank you, Max. I appreciate the information. Okay, we'll move on here to the topic of Field Day. Hope everybody got a chance to go somewhere for Field Day, whether it was RDXA or out at Brad's location or someplace. It truly, truly was a great experience. And Max, since you're up on frequency, I'm going to pick on you just for a second because I know that you spent a great deal of time at the RDXA Field Day site at Webster Park, and you had a blast with the GOTA station. I'm not sure what else you worked out there, but as a new operator, maybe you can share with us just for a moment what you thought about Field Day, the operation in general, and is it something you would go back to?
Alrighty, thank you, Paul. This is KC2SPY. Yeah, Field Day was a ton of fun. Irv had me up at at about 6:30 to go to breakfast for with the rest of RDXA there at 7 on Saturday, and got to the site, finished set up with everything, and getting GOTA ready, and operating GOTA was plenty of fun. We used the call sign W2AN. And I wish I could have spent more time there today. I wasn't able to come today, but spent all of Saturday there, pretty much. And we made contacts in blocks of 20 at GOTA. And I made my 20 block, and then Alan, KC2TND, made his 20 block, and I helped him, along with Genie, KC2RSZ, make their 20 block, and... So it was fun and a learning experience, and got to meet a lot of new people. Definitely going to go next year, and hope to spend some more time next year. Didn't spend as much time there as I would have liked to, but that's all right. All of Saturday was good fun. But anyways, back to net, K2FX, KC2SPY.
KC2SPY from K2FX Net Control. Great. I'm glad you had a good experience. Max is just into his first year of amateur radio, and of course this was his first Field Day, and I saw him doing a fine job on the GOTA station. Absolutely incredible setup at RDXA. I could not believe the towers they had there. In years past, there was a flagpole that they used to use as a makeshift tower, and they'd run a lightweight beam up that thing and swing it around with a rope. Boy, those days are long gone. They had these military masts out there that supported several different beams, and they had one, and I've never seen anything like this before. I believe it was on loan from Monroe County. This thing was a 100-foot tower that they bring in on a trailer, and it is motorized, telescoping and motorized, crank up, crank down, and they had a three-element, I believe it was a three-element 20-meter monobander on top at 100 feet. And, man, what a trailer that thing was. It was absolutely incredible. And I heard that Monroe County actually brought it in and did most of the setup with it, too. A guide tower, obviously, for that kind of height. But, man, that was cool. And I spent personally a couple hours on 20-meter CW. At one point, racking up a pretty good rate on Saturday night. Just kept banging them out one after another. The logging programs, just everything in RDXA was down to a science. So it did that operation just a lot of fun to be there. And of course, the social aspect, the camaraderie, the guys walking around telling stories and just having a great time. Every Field Day should be is what it proved to be again this year. And I was very excited and very happy to be there. And I did run into several people from the NewbieNet that are part of this net. WGTB Dick was out there. I met with him personally. Steve, N2KFE, of course, Max, Irv, A2K, and a host of others. So, and to KC2SWZ, who I met this morning. A lot of fun. So, does anybody else have any anything they'd like to share about their Field Day operation? Maybe Brad, they would like to talk a little bit about his operation. I know Jeff, N2AWA, had gone out there to be with Brad, but anybody else?
KC2KPX.
KV2CHY.
Okay, first of all, John, KA2JRD. John, you're quite noisy tonight. I'm not sure what's going on. Did you have a comment tonight, John? If so, go ahead.
In his own right, and so on, I guess he was running one down there, way down in the field, and today I took a walk around, and a gentleman who had the vehicle right by his tent with all of the antennas on it and so on, you wouldn't believe the radio equipment that he had in that tent. Over.
KC2SPY relay.
No, I got it, Max. Thank you anyway. I can hear him on the input. I don't know why he's not making a machine, but I do hear him on the input. John's comments were basically that he had a good time out there walking around, and he really liked the Rover that was out there. There was a Rover vehicle that had anything you could think of on it and in it. I don't know how you could sit in that thing. There's so many wires everywhere, but it was pretty neat, and John seemed to enjoy the Rover station out there. All right, John, thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. You're just not making the repeater. I don't know why. I do hear you on the input, but you're not making it. All right, next, I think, was Rowan, KC2KPI. Rowan, did you have comments today?
Yes, indeed. Thank you, and hi all to everybody on the net there. Max was doing a bang-up job when I got there on the GOTA station. What I wanted to say was that they do still use the flagpole, actually. They still have a beam hung up off the flagpole that you turn by moving the guy ropes around. It's still there. It's still part of the process. That's a nice, good high point that you just don't want to pass up as well. So I believe one of the CW operators was on it. Not 100% certain. I got in a bunch of blocks of 20 on the GOTA station, and I really had a blast. I worked from about 3 a.m. until about 6 a.m. On that. So I was doing it when nobody else was there. I really had a blast. I'll definitely do it again next year if I'm available. As you said before, the Arnexa group, they've really got it together. They know what they're doing. They've been doing it a long time. It's a lot of fun to go up there. They're going for a top 10 place this year, I believe. KC2KPI, back to net.
Okay, Rowan, very good. KC2KPI, thank you very much for your comments. It's good to hear that you had gotten out to RDXA as well, one of the premier field day locations in the country. Oh, and I will tell you, this is very interesting. We had talked a little bit about the fact that the ARRL was going to be making official visits at certain field days. Well, I'll tell you what, RDXA got an official visit from the ARRL. And it was incredible. They came out and took some pictures and I think interviewed a couple of people. And I am sure that you are going to see the RDXA field day site on an upcoming edition of QST. Really, really great to see the ARRL guys there. Okay, I'm going to go over to Brad and let him give his comments. And then I've got a couple of fast blasts here we're going to get to. So, Brad, I guess you're up first, KB2CHY.
Okay, be sure to tell the people on Echo Link that they won't hear me.
People on Echo Link, just so you know, you will not be able to hear Brad and his comments, but I will relay anything that Brad has to say. Go ahead, Brad.
Okay, very good. Well, Our field day was a little less involved. We didn't have a tower. For some reason, when I read the GOTA station rules, that's for first-time hands and hands that, if you operated a field day at a GOTA station last year, you couldn't do it this year, and there's some other stuff in there, but nonetheless, I guess it was just a matter of interpretation. Anyway, we had a real good time. We were out at our campsite, my campsite, out at Webster Park, at the Timberline Campground. And we were a little more less involved and just more laid back. But we did do, in the time that we weren't talking to people and so on and so forth, we did 65 QSOs, but we also wound up with about 650 points, which I think is okay for a public field day effort. By the time we added all the bonuses in and so on, we had 10 WB2PAY, we had Jeff into AWA. We were really only running one radio. We had Walter come out into QO and Q2O. I always get that mixed up. Myself, I operated that occasion. I usually let the ones that came in do the. That's Mike. I don't know what he's doing here. Hold on one. Okay, he stopped talking. Our field day site, hold on a minute here, let me get him.
This is K2FX Net Control. While Brad is attending to something on his computer, basically what he said was he had a great time at his campsite. Ended up making, I think he said, about 45 or 50 Qs, something like that. Very, very good. Maybe it's more than that. I'm sorry, I missed that count, Brad. But he had a great time. WB2PAY, N2AWA, NQ2O, Walt, and others were out there operating, seemed to have a great time, and he really enjoyed it. He also made some comments pertaining to the GOTA station. He was under the understanding that GOTA was for first-time operators, so if somebody was operating last year at a GOTA station, they were ineligible this year. But of course, we all know that GOTA, too, is for people that are not licensed operators, and it gives them a chance to sit down and make some contacts as well. So a lot of fun. Sounds like Brad had a good time out of his field day. Brad, do you have anything else to add before we move on here?
Yep, we had Mike jumping in there, and I wanted to catch him so that he wasn't thinking something was wrong. Yes, he can't hear you guys, see? And I just said it to him. otherwise, I wanted... Here he goes again. I don't know what he's trying to do. We had, it was Dan, and his call is K2DMG. Dan came out with a 6-meter antenna. Unfortunately, we had an issue with the 6-meter radio, so therefore we could not utilize it. And that was his first field day. So most of the people that came out were first field dayers. And we operated the Kenwood 940 Sugar into a 140-foot Cobra Senior, which actually tuned up everything from 160 to 10 meters. Worked absolutely super, and we were just pulling contacts all over the place. Just to give you an idea, we did hit space. same day, or last night, I think it was last night, we hit Spain. I contacted Bulgaria two times in Germany, UK, and Nova Scotia. On the back of a beam, I was hitting the guy with a 5.9, 100 lousy watts. I hit 10 meters and that cut back to a 3-1 match and knocked my power down to 50 watts, but I contacted Scotland with a 5.8 signal. Just unbelievable, whether it was conditions or it was the antenna, I really don't know. All I know is that the site we had was great. The campground is very happy to have us back, and they're looking forward to next year. And some of the people came by, and I had a 2007 amateur handbook to hand out, as well as another cue book. I gave both of those out to the most interested parties, and that worked out well. The ARRL also sent me, for the cost of postage, all the handouts I could ever want, along with little holders, and made a really, really nice display, and I've got lots of pictures of everything. So I'll pass it back to you, Paul. This is KB2CHY.
And this is K2FX Net Control for the Ray Pickens Memorial Newbie Net. Continuing with Brad's comments, and again for the benefit of those people out on the Terra system and out that way, unfortunately you will not hear Brad, but I can relay what he's been saying. He had also, in addition to his last comments, K2DMG come out with a 6-meter antenna. Unfortunately, the 6-meter radio was bad, so an antenna without a radio doesn't do much good, and vice versa. He was running a TS-940S, 140-foot length of wire, 160 through 10 meters, did very well contact-wise, had a ball, and even gave out some goodies out there, some ARRL goodies to people who had attended his field day. So all in all, Brad had a very, very good experience, as we all did. So, Brad, thank you very much for that. All right, I'm going to, I got a couple fast blasts here, so let's get to those. The first one, is from Max, KC2SBY. He says, I'm sitting here cracking up listening to Phil, WW2E, saying his thoughts on TWIAR. Max says, you should record him for a commercial for the show. He had everything down pat. I download the MP3s and listen to it on my own time. That's a quote. I'll download this week's TWIA and give it a listen. Sounds like fun. 73 is Max. Yeah, Phil's a character. That's for sure. Here's another fast blast. This is a good one, guys. This one says, greetings. I'm listening to this week's net on N2TY, but I'm not in a good transmit position. That's in the southern Adirondack Mountains. This weekend was my first field day. Became a ham last September. Got my general in March. I helped set up a G5RV in tents that Friday at the WA2UMX local club site, and was on the site from 6 p.m. yesterday until about 10 a.m. today. Worked about 70 contacts on 40 meters. My first HF contest field day nighter, overnighter. And then he says, do I still qualify as a newbie? Hi. This newbie is recovering, but wonders what the medical term for random gibberish phonetics call signs going through one's head after contesting is. I like that. A great show. Enjoy it while I can catch it. 73s. That's from Jeff, KC2SDX, Sierra. That's Kilo Charlie 2 Sierra Delta Sierra. He's an FN23XH, Town of Day, New York, on the Great Sacandaga Lake. And I honestly can say I don't know where the Town of Day is, but it's got to be somewhere very close to where my uncle lives. Call sign WB2FBP, the Fancy Brass Pounder, who also is on the Great Sacandaga Lake in Broad Auburn, New York. So Broad Auburn, and just my wild guess, has got to be near the Town of Day. So, Jeff, thank you for the fast blast, and appreciate that. Again, if anybody has any comments and they can't get into the system, You can send your emails along here to usafpilot@rochester.rr.com, and we'll make sure and read them. Okay, let's take a quick break here, see if anybody else would like to join the net. If so, please call K2FX. Okay, nothing heard for the comments or check-ins tonight. We had, let's see, what, 28 check-ins so far, which is respectable for the newbie net tonight. We didn't get close to our 40 that we had last week, but we're doing extremely well. All right, does anybody else have any other comments or questions pertaining to Field Day or anything else tonight? Of course, this is your net. It's the newbie net. Many of you, I know, are working on projects because it's summertime. You may have antenna projects in the works or radios you're restoring or whatever the case may be. Some of you are studying for license upgrades. If you'd like to comment on any of those things or share those things with the net, we'd love to hear it. Please call K2FX, your net control.
K2FX, KC2KPI.
KC2KPI, Rowan, go right ahead.
Yeah, it's actually back on the topic of Field Day a little bit. The GOTA station is also for hams that do not have HF privileges, of which I am one. I'm pretty sure there's others out there. It gives you a chance to operate on HF if it's not something you normally have the ability or capability of doing. Just thought I would pass that along to anyone that was listening. So if you're a tech and you can go to a Field Day, just like you can go to any operator in, under a regular time, there's a coach there at Field Day with you that's licensed for the bands that you're using. And if you don't have the equipment, you can get on the air and work some stations that you normally wouldn't have had the opportunity to work. And that's one of the best things about it is that the where we were located in Webster Park, anybody could walk up to it. All you had to do was just drive down this little road. There was a Boy Scout camp down there and a bunch of other things, traffic going through all the time. And even some big, like, party truck went by heading for that Boy Scout troop. So it was a pretty good event overall. I had a really good time. KC2KPI, KC2, yeah, back to that.
Okay, Rowan, KC2KPI from K2FX Net Control. A little tongue-tied at the end there, but that's okay. That's a good thing because it means that you're a little tired because you had a very busy and very active weekend at Field Day. Yeah, Rowan's absolutely right. Those of you who are technician-class operators and have not yet operated or upgraded the general class, you can get out there and operate at Field Day under the GOTA station and work those bands and frequencies that your current license does not allow you to do. And gained you some valuable experience. Now, you'll find at Field Days, not only do you have newbies that are coming out, but you got a wealth of experience out there. You got guys that have been doing Field Day for years and that have been licensed for many, many years, and they're there to help you. I mean, it's a contest, obviously, but it's an emergency preparedness drill, which is also equally as important or more important, and that wealth of information is something that you guys should tap off of. And don't be afraid to ask questions. If you don't understand something, by all means, ask questions. And just operate. Have a great time. Okay, it's 10:19 here. The hour is starting to get a little bit late, but we'll pause one more time here and see if anybody else has any comments or questions. If so, please call Net Control.
K2FX.
Station calling Net Control. Go ahead.
Hey, Vic, this is KC2SEZ. Yeah, from Golden West, the General Class license, and I'm just wondering the band that Rob Peel has been talking about, the new 60 meter, and that's only like 50 watts. How do you know that your antenna on that 60 meter there? Back to you there.
Okay, Donald, that's a very good question. For those who may have not copied everything he said, I could copy him on the input. He was asking about the new 60-meter band, and, of course, the power is limited there to 50 watts, and Don's question was, how do you know if you're getting 50 watts output? Well, that's relatively simple, Don. You can put a power combination, the power SWR meter in line, and make sure that your transmitter is putting out 50 watts. Most of the transmitters today have a control that will allow you to limit the amount of power output in the radio. So either it's a rotary control, you can back the power down from a typical 100 watts NHF and back it down to 50 watts at that point, or some of them have internal menus that you would get into to set the parameters for power. But either way, it's very simple to limit the power to 50 watts. But yes, you do have to monitor it. And 60 meters is one of those bands that it can be quite interesting. But, of course, you're limited because you've only got five frequencies you can work on as well. And personally, I've not played with 60 meters. I've listened there a little bit. I've heard very little activity there, but I know there is some. But basically, to answer your question again, Don, just an SWR and a power meter in line to watch what power you're getting out, and also you get into your radio and you can lower the amount of power on that HF radio to make sure you're not in violation of that 50-watt limit. Did that help you at all, Don? Go ahead.
Yeah, Vega there, next roller. This is KC2SEZ, standing by.
All right, Don, good to have you on the net tonight. Anybody else with comments or questions? Okay, everybody's very quiet tonight. Let's see, how should we take that? Either you're extremely tired from field day, you had a very busy weekend like I did, or you've totally tuned out by now and you've heard enough about field day and you don't want to discuss it anymore. I'm not sure which, but we're not getting a ton of questions tonight. That's okay. It's all good. I guess then we will throw it out here for any announcements. Does anybody have any announcements they'd like to bring to the net before I go through the official NubiNet announcements tonight? Please call Net Control, K2FX. All right, with nothing heard, we will go on to the official NubiNet announcements tonight. First, coming up, July 19th, will be the next opportunity to get out and socialize at a ham fest. It's the Batavia Ham Fest in Alexander, New York. Again, July 19th is the date, and for those of you who are looking to upgrade and have been studying, ham radio exams will be available at the Ham Fest, and they have a fantastic chicken barbecue that happens out there as well. July 19th is the date. I hope to see you guys out there. The Monday night single sideband net continues to happen, 144.260 at 9 p.m. That is on upper sideband, N2MLH. Our buddy Larry out there in Honeyway is your net control station. I imagine as fall gets closer and our summer activities come to an end, if you're like me, your habits on amateur radio become a little more strong, and you operate much more frequently. So when fall gets here, I'm sure that some of these net numbers will bump up a little bit, but I know that summertime can be a little bit busy. But if you have Monday nights free, by all means, please join the Monday night single sideband net, 144.260 at 9 p.m. Wait. Improving your proficiency, you'll have the opportunity to do that
It will happen in the fall. It will be on this repeater. I don't know if we're going to be incorporating that yet into the new data, finding a different time or day to do that, but it will be happening. So stand by for more information as time gets closer. Also, the fall radio station tour, the commercial radio station tour, is all firmed up. It's definitely going to happen. We're going to be touring WLGZ 102.7 FM. It will commence with a studio tour, and then we're hoping a transmitter tour. The FM transmitter is on Colfax Street on the 600-foot tower that's near the Rochester Airport. That's, again, the FM tower. The AM 6-tower array and transmitter is out in Clarkson, New York. Those of you who live out that way, I'm sure, have seen it. Very interesting. So, again, that's taking place. If you, too, would like to join us for the fall radio station tour, very simple. You just need to get on our list. We've got left about 12, 13 people already. You can just email me, usaisland@rochester.rr.com. Let me know that you have interest in that tour, and we will add you to the list. Wait. Okay. I did get another email in here, and it looks like it's from John, W3OAB out in Ogden, trying to send a zipped set of RDXA field day picks that were taken by my HN2 or K2MTH. How big a file does your mail buffer allow? John, that's a good question, John. I'm on Roadrunner, so whatever Roadrunner standards are is what I can get. I did get a bunch of pictures earlier that Mark had sent out, just so you know, for your information. A whole bunch of zipped pictures, and they looked really, really good. So I got a bunch of stuff, but if you have something in particular you want to send, by all means, go ahead and send it. I think Roadrunner has a pretty big capacity there, so you should be able to send something. Not a problem. All right, before we close the net, one last call here. Does anybody else have any more questions, comments, announcements, anything before we shut down the net? If so, please call K2FX, your net control station.
K2FX. KC2QLJ.
KC2QLJ. Good evening, Brent. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Pat, just a quick question, because I heard it both ways this weekend. Field Day, is that just a U.S.-based contest, or is that worldwide? Back to net control from KC2QLJ.
Well, Canadian stations also take part in Field Day. I don't know about the rest of the world, but it is definitely U.S. and Canada. We made several Canadian contacts at the RDXA site, and they were set up with their designators and their sections. But beyond U.S. and Canada, I've never worked anybody else on Field Day other than U.S. and Canada, Brent, so that's probably it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, very good. Yes, just one big emergency preparedness drill is the way we put it. That's a good question. Very good question. Okay, anybody else? Anyone else before we close up?
KB2CHY.
Go ahead, Brad.
The way I understand it is that there are other organizations around the rest of the world that are similar to ARRL. And even though the field day that's here in Canada is ARRL sponsored, sort of, there are other field days throughout the rest of the world because we ran across them. And in the N1MM field day software, the exchange would be their particular area, like AE or something like that, their class, whatever their class is for a DX station, and their, I forget if this is class, the section is considered DX, according to the N1MM software that I use. That's what I put in for the Spain contact. And there is a whole listing of things for outside the United States with information in that program. Now, I don't know a lot about the program. It gave me a lot of agita this weekend. But I finally figured it out and got it working the way I wanted it to, at least to make the put the QSOs in. But I just wanted to pass that along. As far as I know, it's a worldwide exercise. It's just not all ARRL.
Well, that very well could be, Brad, but I'm not sure if those contacts are actually going to count for contest points. Like I said, in all the years I've been doing field day with RDXA, and believe me, we've got the signal to go anywhere we want to go from RDXA, but we don't ever work anybody outside the United States or Canada, and I've never had a DX station even call me at that point, but so I don't know if those contacts are valid for points. That's a good question. I'm actually on the ARRL Field Day rules and regulations site right now. I'm trying to peruse through it as I'm talking here. I don't see any mention of anything international here. They're all talking about United States right now, but I'm going to have to work through here a little bit more, I guess.
Well, it doesn't seem to specify, but I figure a QSO is a QSO.
Well, they're either going to accept it or they're going to bump it out of your log. Either way, did you computer log at your site, Brad, or was everything done paper log?
I was able to computer log it. It took it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah, the computer logging is neat. I wish I could remember the program that RDXA uses, but when you're looking at their computer screen when you're logging, you can see what each of the other stations is doing too. Whether it's the 40-meter CW or sideband station or the GOTA station or whatever it might be, all these contacts continually pop up on a different screen in your computer screen in addition to what you're logging there. And each individual operator, for example, when I sat down at 20-meter CW control O, I put my call sign in, and then those rates were attributed to what I was doing at that point. And it's pretty sophisticated. It's pretty neat. Last look, and this was only last look for me today before I left the RDXA field day site. I think they were at 3,700 Qs, 3,700, and over 12,000 points or something. But I know that that's going to change because it was quite a bit before 2 o'clock yet. There was a couple more hours of operating. But anyway, a lot of fun. I'll see what I can find out, Brad. That's interesting. I don't believe that stations outside the U.S. or Canada officially can participate in this, but I'll see what I can find out. Okay, let's see, it's 10:33 here. One last call. Anybody else before we shut down the net tonight with comments or questions? Please call K2FX.
KC2SPY. Paul, it's N1MM logger that they use.
They use rate log, but they're using N1MM software.
Okay, we had a double in there. Brad, say that again.
RDXA changed from write log to N1MM software, and it's the same software I was using.
Yes, you're absolutely right. N1MM was the software that they were using out there. Absolutely right. And Brent, I think you had a comment as well.
Yep, I didn't think about it, Paul. I was sitting here, I just asked the question. I had the computer on. Under the Field Day 2008 rules on the ARRL website, eligibility, Field Day is open to all amateurs in the areas covered by the ARRL/RAC field organizations and countries within IARU Region 2. DX stations residing in other regions may be contacted for credit, but are not eligible to submit entries. Back over to Nick Contreras from KC2 QLJ.
Okay, very good, Brent. Yep, just as you were reading it, I was looking at the same thing. Okay, so ARRL and RAC is Radio Amateurs of Canada, and the ARRL, and anybody affiliated with those organizations. So that explains why it's U.S. and Canada. And I guess they will count stations that you contact elsewhere, but they can't submit anything as far as trying to participate in our contest. But you can get credit for contacting them. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, very good. Well, it's been another great night, everybody. Another really good net. 28 check-ins. We appreciate that. We'll be back here next weekend. And what we're going to probably do next Sunday, this will become more or less a tradition here. If it's a holiday weekend, we probably won't have a firm topic. I'm not sure if we're going to get a lot of check-ins. So what we'll do is we'll open the net and take check-ins for the net, and open it up for general comments or questions, but it won't be a training session of any kind. And we will continue to do that anytime we have a holiday weekend, just so you know. That way we're not keeping people from friends, family, whatever the case may be. But I'm not going to cancel the net. We'll certainly still have a net, but it'll be an abbreviated version. Okay, I want to thank everybody once again for checking into the Ray Pickens Memorial NubiNet, and everybody listening. Wherever you may be tonight, appreciate all the emails that have come in here. Everybody listening in the Albany, Adirondack, Mountain area, and anywhere around the world, the EchoLink. We appreciate you taking the time to participate in our net. At this time, this is K2FX, Net Control Station, closing the Ray Pickens Memorial NubiNet and returning the 146.88 repeater in beautiful downtown Rochester, New York, back to normal amateur radio use. 73s, everybody. Have a great week and a very happy 4th of July coming up. We'll see everybody next Sunday night. This is K2FX Monitoring.